are flying high on Locked On Eagles, your source for the best Philadelphia Eagles news and analysis. I am your host, Michael Kist. You can follow my X and O work for InsideThePylon.com. Follow my draft and fantasy work for BreakingFootball.com. Follow me on Twitter at MichaelKistNFL. As always, I am joined by the best co-host in the game, Mr. 7 Year Streak Without a Bad Day. He is Benjamin Solak of Bleeding Green Nation, and NDT Scouting is where he does his draft work. Follow him on Twitter at Benjamin Solak, S-O-L-A-K. Ben, Merry Christmas, man. How you doing?
Hey, Merry Christmas to you, Mike. Happy holidays to all the listeners. I'm doing well, my guy. I'm very excited. Monday night game on Christmas. I mean, what a day. It's going to be a fun one. So this is the most wonderful time of the year. It really is the truth.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. We are recording this on Saturday night before the Vikings game, so we don't have a result on that. So hopefully this show doesn't become outdated really quickly. Look, I'm excited about this football game. I'm excited about Christmas coming up. We're going to talk some football. Let's get into this preview. Eagles, Raiders, Monday night. Going to be a fun one. And what we'll do first, the Eagles defense against the Raiders offense, using Pro Football Focus's blocking advantage metric. It's a pretty even matchup in this regard. The numbers may be a bit off considering that Donald Penn just hit injured reserve.
Yeah.
There just isn't enough data on David Sharp, who I'll add allowed one pressure on two snaps all year. So as far as the matchup goes, negative 13% in the pass game for the Raiders, plus 5 in the run game. Not much either way. KO, Rodney Hudson, Gabe Jackson, Marshall Newhouse. This is still a good offensive line. They rank second in PFF's pass blocking efficiency metric. Despite their inconsistent play, this is an offense that still ranks 11th in the league in Football Outsiders DVOA. They're second in the league in red zone efficiency, but their weakness is definitely the run game, where they rank 25th in yards per game on the ground and 31st in that same stat when they're on the road, where they average an abysmal but nice 69 yards a game. Ben, Marshawn Lynch is coming to town. What do you think about the trench play and the run game for the Raiders?
I think Donald Penn being out is a really big deal. Mm. I think Donald Penn being out is a huge deal. I think he's one of the most underrated offensive linemen in the league. Mm. He's vicious. He's been an Iron Man, right? He's been a consistent guy, a consistent starter there. We know what continuity does for an offensive line. You know, now that we've lost it on the left-handed side with Big V and with Wisniewski as well. Wisniewski, of course, also kind of touch and go with that ankle. I do believe Wisniewski is expected to be back for this game. He is questionable. Looks like Warmack would be the guy behind him if that's not the case. But focusing on the Raiders offensive line, Philadelphia defensive line, without Donald Penn, you've got David Sharp in there. Fourth round pick, I believe he was, out of Florida. Liked by a lot, including myself, as a developmental offensive tackle. Good length, good size. He's got some quickness there to his feet as well. Although some balance issues, but we know with Big V, you know, balance issues as well. You can kind of get by with that. That's okay. Now, it was viewed as developmental because he really lacked technique. He lacked polish, you know, making easy mistakes, gets fooled by savvy pass rushers. I think he's in trouble if he lines up against Chris Long, Derek Barnett, who I think Long is typically on the opposite side. He's on the right tackle side. So if they elect to leave Newhouse there and then have Sharp at the left, then Sharp seeing Derek Barnett more consistently. And I think Barnett's a crafty enough rusher to give him fits. And so I think that you'll see a big advantage there as far as the pass rush goes for Philadelphia. Now, in the running game, Oakland still is one of the most physical, bruising offensive lines, even without Penn. And then you got Marshawn Lynch there as well. We know Philadelphia has struggled recently in the running game and more recently in the passing game, but the running game has been really the biggest issue since Jordan Hicks was out. We saw how that caused the problem with the Giants in the passing game, but you're most concerned about the running game, in my opinion. Now, like I said, very physical, very bruising. I think that this Philadelphia defensive front is well equipped to handle a lot of these pulls. I think they've done a good job on that so far. Sometimes they get a little bit too far upfield. You could see Lynch rip off one or two big runs, and if the Eagles' secondary continues to have tackling problems, then that becomes an even bigger issue. And so I'm more concerned about it in the rushing game for sure. I think that the loss of Penn isn't as significant there, and I think that Oakland will look to lean on the rushing game as a result. You know, no matter how fast you get the ball out of Derek Carr's hands, you know, you're still very wary of this pass rush. You know, it doesn't matter if you have your starting left tackle or your backup or whatever. So I would expect them to lean on the run game a little bit more heavily, try to get Marshawn Lynch going, especially away in Philadelphia. I think that's where they could find an advantage. Philadelphia's got to get another linebacker in the rotation, Mike. I don't know if it's going to be Joe Walker this week. I don't know if it's Danielle Etherby. Remember, Michael Kendricks, questionable as of right now with a foot injury. You know, he practiced in full Kendricks has always been a guy where you can't be sure he's going to play on injury until the day of, right? He's always kind of been a little bit of a touchier player. So they really got to find a way. If it's Joe Walker, if it's Danelle Ellerbe, if it's Najee Good, they got to find a guy they can consistently get on the field. If Kendricks is out and it's Bradham and then nobody, Lynch could be in line for a very big day. Could cause a lot of problems for Philadelphia.
Yeah, absolutely. We have to get that issue cleaned up for sure. Okay, so let's take a look at the passing game matchups for this game. Amari Cooper will draw coverage from Jalen Mills, who is also questionable with an ankle. It's interesting that Pro Football Focus has this as advantage Mills, but Cooper hasn't hit 500 yards yet, and his catch rate of 49% is downright terrible. And Carr only has a 71.8 quarterback rating when targeting Cooper. The reason his catch rate is so repugnant is because while Michael Crabtree is famously having issues holding on to his chain, Amari Cooper is having issues holding on to his balls. He leads the world in drops with 10 on the season. And when you throw out uncatchable targets, he has a drop rate that says he drops one in every five that hits his hands. That's awful.
That's not great, Mike.
Yeah, no. Cooper is questionable with a high ankle sprain. He did not practice Thursday. He was limited on Friday and Saturday. Patrick Robinson in the concussion protocol right now, if he plays, is favored heavily over slot receiver Seth Roberts as well. I would definitely agree there. And then we move on to volume monster Michael Crabtree. He is favored in his matchup with Ronald Darby, who struggled mightily last week. Crabtree leads the Raiders in every receiving category except yards. That's led by tight end Jared Cook, who will see coverage from, what are we calling Malcolm Jenkins now? A linebacker, safety, hybrid. So that's another tough ask for Jenkins. Cook has been really solid this year outside of some drops, where he's tied for third most among tight ends with six. But he has also not produced over 20 yards in the last three of four games. On the plus side for Cook, he ranks ninth in the league among tight ends in yards per route run. You throw in Cordarrelle Patterson, who can be a threat. And Ben, I don't know about you, but what stands out to me is Crabtree's 17 targets with no Cooper last week against the Cowboys. And Cooper's probably going to try to give it a go, but he may be extremely limited. What stands out for you?
What stands out for me is that Crabtree is favored over Darby, because I'm not sure how much I buy that. Darby's never going to be a guy that grading and analytics favors nicely, because he's a risk taker, and that's the reality. And Philadelphia knew that when they picked him up. We knew that when he's been playing, he takes risks. He jumps routes. He's going to get burned sometimes. He's going to play great sometimes. So that's just the reality. And that'll never work favorably for analytics. Works just fine for me, to be honest, and works fine in the Jim Schwartz defense. I'm okay with him giving up a couple big plays if he's impacting the catch point. So
yeah, and keep in mind too, the way they're grading this with their stats, you know, it's a very small sample size for Darby compared to some other cornerbacks,
right?
And having that one game where he really got beat up a little bit, you know, is going to impact that.
No, that's a very good point, Mike, thank you. So I'm not as fearful of that matchup. Now Crabtree can run some pretty deadly routes. He can get Darby jumping, and so you do have to be afraid of that. Crabtree will have to have a monster day if Oakland's going to hang with this with this Philadelphia offense, right? Like I said, I would expect Oakland to go run heavy, but Crabtree's going to have to be the guy they go through. Tight ends have not been successful against Philadelphia, so even if Jared Cook is around and he's playing well and he's picking up yardage, I don't foresee him having that impactful of a day for the Raiders. That's the one that sticks out to me. Of course, again, Philadelphia, war of attrition, week 16, Jalen Mills, ankle injury, also questionable. Patrick Robinson still within the concussion protocol. Rasul Douglas going to be active for sure. After being inactive last week, which, once that wasn't an oversight until the passing game really picked up for the Giants. But, that's a little frustrating for, I think, a guy who's played well and he's earned an active roster spot. He'll definitely be active. I think he'll have the opportunity to go on the boundary against some of these good receivers, see what he's got. Valuable player, Rasul Douglas, fourth corner, but he still plays, quite good football. And then obviously you have Sidney Jones as well, who potentially could be active, who potentially could see game time. You don't know yet if they think that he's ready, where he could potentially be. But if P. Rob and Jalen Mills are both questionable, you could see it. And so the Darby thing sticks out to me the most. I am very interested in what happens if Philadelphia has to field one of these young corners, because I think that you could see issues there. Crabtree and Cooper are two good wide receivers, pretty equivalent in skill level and in impact. Obviously, Crabtree having the much better season. If you've got to put in a Rasul Douglas for consistent reps, or if you've got to put in a Sidney Jones for consistent reps, you can target whatever matchup you've got on him. It's not like Darby's going to fall the wide receiver one, right? Because they both can act as that. And so that's my main concern looking at that, is making sure that Philadelphia has the depth to hang with these receivers.
Yeah, definitely. And, as inconsistent as they've been, the Raiders still are capable. They have the the playmakers, the talent to have another downpour like they had against the Chiefs, like that Thursday night game where they just lit them up. All right, let's flip sides. Eagles offense against Raiders defense. PFF's blocking advantage metric has the Eagles holding a plus 33% advantage in the run game, which ranks as the fourth most favorable matchup of the week. And then you have the Eagles at negative 15% in the pass game. Understandably, the matchup to watch, and it's a good one, is Lane Johnson against Khalil Mack. Also, Mack only lines up on Big V's side 20% of the time. Hopefully that stays that way, but if he does, man, if he lines up on Big V's side some more, that might be a slaughter. Mack ranks fifth among edge defenders in pass rush productivity this year, notching 11 sacks and an eye-popping 71 pressures. Lane Johnson ranks fourth among tackles in pass-blocking efficiency, allowing only 2 sacks and 18 pressures on the year in his Pro Bowl campaign. Overall, you're looking at a Raiders team that has struggled to generate hits and sacks in the pass game. Ben, do you expect the game plan similar to what we saw against the Broncos, where we essentially try to use Mack against himself?
Firstly, what number that sticks out to me there is Johnson's fourth in efficiency.
Yeah,
I think we forget sometimes how good he is, yeah. Right? I think we do simply because Jason Peters is so gosh darn talented, because he's on the right side. But man, Lane Johnson playing good football, and obviously Pro Bowl bid for Lane, that's fantastic. Jason Kelce such a big snub, but whatever. Yeah. Right? I don't think Mack is on Vaughn level yet. And the reason I don't think so is, number one, he hasn't spent the time. It hasn't been as consistent over the years. That's an important thing for me whenever we talk about top rushers. I want to see a guy who can do it year after year after year. That's number one. And then number two, when it comes to addressing Mack similarly to how you address Vaughn, it's tough because to me they're different players and they win in different ways. Vaughn is so explosive. He's so dynamic working around the edge. And then he can rush that inside track too. Now, I think that Lane is a great matchup for that because Lane is such a fantastic athlete, where Lane was able to run with Vaughn around where he was going. Vaughn's most successful rushes in that game came through Lane when he was attacking straight up the middle, converting speed to power, because Lane was so on his heels looking for the move left, the move right, that Mack was able to push through him. Or excuse me, Vaughn was able to push through him, you know, and generate some rush through the tackle. Now, he didn't finish a lot of those rushes because he was still within Lane's cylinder, but that's how he generated pressure. That's how he affected the pocket. You go ahead, now you look at Khalil Mack. Mack doesn't win all around the edge as consistently as Vaughn. He's still a deadly edge rusher. He can still win around the edge. I'm not saying that he can't do that. It's just not his bread and butter in the way that it's Vaughn's. His bread and butter is working rush moves. His bread and butter is working the speed to power, the bull rush, the long arm. You remember those clips of his long arm against that one poor left tackle? I think it's Mitchell Schwartz for Kansas City, right? He's vicious.
Put him right in the lap.
Yeah, he's got incredible handiwork. And so you think that Lane might be more aggressive setting against him instead of reactive as he was against Vaughn. You think he may fire out some punches, use some jump sets, so on and so forth. And so I think that Lane should and likely will address Mack differently. By the same token, where Vaughn was able to beat Lane when he rushed with speed, when he rushed with power through Lane, I think that the best rushes for Mack will come when he bends the edge, when he wins that explosive first step, because Lane's going to be more aggressive, that Mack can catch him if Mack's able to beat him off the ball. Those rushes can be more dangerous as well because they're much quicker than rushes that require sequences of moves. You win off the snap, it's an immediate problem. It would not be bad money if you bet on a strip sack for Khalil Mack, is what I'm saying, right? Even though he's not coming off of Foles' blind side. Foles, both sides of Foles are blind sides, to be honest. He does not feel pressure very well. And so I think, I do think that Mack will have a big day, even against Lane. I do think that Mack will be able to impact the game in a big way. That pass rush has been humming past few weeks. I anticipate it continues to do so. A lot of pride for a defense that even though they may be out of playoff contention, they still want to disrupt, they still want to cause some trouble. So I expect Mack to have a big day. The problem is the other 10 players on that defense probably ain't going to have a big day.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That's that.
Yeah, I would agree there. And look, you can't get sacked when you're running the ball, and that's something I think we can do against this defense. So we'll see what the game plan is coming into it. All right, so let's go to the passing game matchups. Alshon Jeffrey will see Sean Smith in coverage, which you could consider a push, I guess. Torrey Smith draws Dexter McDonald, which PFF has as negative 32% for Torrey. Not surprising, giving Smith's tendency to ghost for long stretches. It is notable that McDonald is questionable with a knee injury and was a limited participant in practice on Saturday. Nelson Aguilar gets nickel man TJ Carey. I think this is a matchup that the Eagles can exploit. And if you pair that with Zach Ertz drawing safety Carl Joseph, I think it's safe to say that the middle of the field is where the Eagles will feel comfortable attacking, and I think they can really, really eat there. Ben, what sticks out to you from these matchups?
I'm at the exact same point with you, and I'm getting close to the point where I think every matchup for Nelson Agholor is a matchup that we can exploit. Like, you know, with him, we haven't seen a slot corner handle him well consistently for an entire game. Right? Yeah. And I mean, I've been sold, but man, it was so much fun to watch him drop a football and come right back and catch a football against the Giants. I just like satisfying feeling. You know what I mean?
You know, he's done that three times this year. There are three times this year where he had a drop. Mm-hmm. Each time the Eagles went right back to him the next play and he caught it. All those mental issues with him are completely gone, and that's so good to see.
What was that? What'd you just say?
He said three drops.
Uh-huh.
The three drops that I remember seeing from him, each time they threw to him the very next play, and he made a catch.
Oh, see, I thought you said Doug Peterson, coach of the year. That's what I thought I was hearing. That's my bad. Because coming back to a guy with consistent drop issues, all the time making those mistakes, Doug Peterson, coach of the year. It's great. I'm sorry. I'll take my own horn and toot it for a second. I'm loving all of these Doug Peterson Coach of the Year think pieces that are coming out now that Foles is playing well, because your boy has been on this train for months, and I'm very happy it's happening. But anyway, yeah, what you're going to see is, you know, we said matchups to exploit. When we had Wentz, it was whoever Wentz wants to get the football to, that's the matchup to exploit. I think it's the same thing with Foles, to be honest, right? I think Nelly's got a great look, absolutely. I think Alshon's got a good look. I think Ertz has got a good look. Then, you know, Torrey Smith is the other starter. Well, whatever. You know, that position, blah, forget it. with Foles at the helm and with Doug Peterson still calling the offense, they're going to pick on whom they want to pick. Without quarter, you know what I mean? It ain't going to be a problem. And so I expect this passing offense to be prolific. We know that Nick Foles is a historically good quarterback when he's facing the Oakland Raiders. Big sample size on that one. Not an outlier for sure. It would be so fun if he comes out and chucks like three touchdowns in the first quarter and we start talking like, oh, like what if he, you know, throws seven again? I think that'd be hysterical.
Bro, I predicted it on Locked On Eagles. I predicted that he would throw seven touchdowns against this Raiders defense. And you know what? It don't sound that crazy, Ben.
Yeah, he can. And to be honest, this, you know, this Philadelphia team doesn't, I think, throw it as much as that Chip Kelly team did, but they throw it a whole heck of a lot in the red zone. They do not run red zone very often at all. So if they can move the football, he's going to have chances. So we'll see. We'll see if Nicky Foles got some more Christmas magic. Man, Nick Foles on Christmas against Oakland. It feels too good to be true in regards to seven touchdowns. It feels like it should happen. You don't want to believe, but oh man, I would die if he put up like just five or six too, like just enough to like make us watch for it later in the game. That'd be hysterical.
So, okay, let's get to our score predictions with that in mind. Ben, who do you have winning this game? What's the score? Give me the skinny.
Philadelphia is going to bring it home. Philadelphia about to clinch up that first seed, man. We're going to have to throw some sort of a celebration on the Tuesday pod when they do, especially because there's a chance that I'll be missing a few podcasts next week, folks. I know, hold back your tears. But we're going to have to celebrate on that Tuesday pod. Philadelphia's got it. It's a 9-point spread. Philadelphia's the favorite at home. 47 points is the over and the under. I've led you astray for the past 2 weeks, folks, and I apologize for that. However, I've been betting over-unders on those past two games. This time, I'm going straight to it. Philadelphia, 9 points. I'm taking Philly. And 9 points is a healthy margin, right? And that's also one of your key numbers. That's one number that bettors like to avoid at nine, so you may want to tease that down to 8.5. But either way, Philadelphia, incredibly prolific offense, did not drop a beat against the Giants, facing a defense that's playing better but still is one of the league worst. Their main weakness is pass defense. Philadelphia's main strength is a passing offense. Jay Ajayi looks like he's been rumbling well, so even if things start shaky, they should be able to run the ball pretty successfully. Obviously, keep an eye out on health. If Mills, Kendricks, and Wisniewski are all no-goes, then perhaps, you know, take it a little bit more chill. But I like Philadelphia to put up another 30-burger. There's no reason to really bet against that for right now. Give me Philly 31-17.
Oh, wow. That's interesting because I was thinking 30-17. However, because of my Nick Foles prediction, I'm going 49. Oh, I'm going 49-21. I'll give the Raiders an extra 4 points for game script, but seven touchdowns for Nicky Foles, 49 points. He's going to be responsible for every single freaking one of them. 49.
I love it.
21 Eagles.
All right. Full so prediction. I've got to give my seven touchdown prediction too as well, because obviously can't leave it hanging out there. Let's see. All right, actually 31-14, but let's give Philadelphia a defensive touchdown just for kicks. And Oakland can pick up like 10 points in garbage time. So what's that? That's 56 to what, 24, 27? Yeah, yeah, I'm down with that. I'm down with 56 feels good. I'm okay with 56. That seems reasonable.
Okay, so we got our grounded take, and we have our bold prediction take. I like that. I like that a lot. All right. Ben, man, we got Christmas coming up. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope we made your drive to your family's house or whatever you're doing. You're spending Christmas alone. Always know that you have friends with me and Ben that you can listen to, talk to on Twitter. Hit us up on @LockedOnEagles. Hit up LockedOnEagles.com for all the new articles that we have up as well. Ben, what else do we have for the gentle, gentle listeners?
Well, we got this pod probably releasing on Christmas Eve because a release on Christmas seems a little bit ill-advised. So it's coming out for you guys. I hope you enjoyed it. As always, like Mike said, please rate, review, and subscribe. We appreciate it. We went to 60 five-star reviews today, which means 61 total reviews. Again, shout out to the Cowboys fan who gave us one-star review. We love you, man. Well to be. Peace and joy in the world is the season. So, on whatever podcast app you're listening to us, please rate, review, and subscribe. Of course, always leave your Twitter handle for a chance to be entered to win a PFF Edge subscription, $40 value. You just heard all the stats in the preview show. It's incredibly valuable. Like Mike said, LockedOnEagles.com. I've been Ben Solak, at Benjamin Solak on Twitter. Mike's been Michael Kist, at Michael Kist NFL on Twitter. Next week, that's our final regular season week, folks. Mike and I, first season here on Locked On Eagles, coming to an end, buddy.
Yeah, it's sad, but you know that the time has come for the playoffs to separate the men from the boys. Thank you so much for sharing the season with us, and remember, keep it locked on here on Locked On Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly.